Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Well, as things continue to intensify, it's becoming more and more difficult for people to embrace the reality in which we find ourselves. A lot of negative news out there today, a lot of, you know, paradigm-shattering concepts that are coming to light. And I have many reaching out in, you know, as we go forward, and I've had this happening for a long time, asking me, Ryan, can you cover more positive news? And I truly understand the desire for that, even from a psychological standpoint of why we need to embrace the fact that there is good out there, and which I will always say, I am truly an optimist in regard to the goodness within humanity. What I'm here to do is focus and reveal the lies around those in charge who are deceiving you and telling you false information and getting you to see things that aren't really there. But I want to make sure people understand that my job here is to give you the truth, not to seek out and find more positive news than I feel is truly happening in a given day just to make us feel like there's positivity in the world. Trust me, as always, as much as we cover a lot of negative, you know, pessimistic type concepts on this show, there's always an overarching positive message here of empowering you to stand up for yourself and realize that you're being lied to. Band together with the actual people that are supposed to be running this country, as well as other governments in the world, and really stand together and demand that we get the truth, demand that we get what we deserve in this country, our inherent rights in general. But I will always make sure to give you what I feel is the truth, even if that may be hard to swallow from time to time. I will always try to bring you the news that I feel is most important, and that tends to be something that's positive, believe me, I will include it. Just like the story of Monsanto and the Bayer stock dropping $12.9 billion because of our actions. That's a positive story, but understand that I will always bring you the truth, even if that may be hard to swallow. Now, considering the first story of the day, stories like this, I find it increasingly hard to omit things like this for something that may be more positive to take down. And this is indeed a hard story to start with today, but it is the kind of thing that they're trying to keep from you. And it's important, even in a positive tone, to see the horrific actions that are being carried out so that we can fight back and create the positive world that we truly want to have, that we want to live in, that we can live in, if we take back what's ours. Now, starting with the first story, which is definitely a sad story and something that's important to talk about, coming from globalresearch.ca, entitled, Israel Again Tests Chemical Weapons on Gaza Protesters. Again, being the main point in that title. So the Israeli occupation is, once again, testing a strange new and unknown weapon on civilians protesting in the illegal siege on Gaza at the separation barrier fence last Friday. Now, there's images that are coming out. This is not being covered by a lot of people. This is an image of documented by independent researchers on the ground showing what this looks like. And there's one social media post coming out saying, what is this? What the hell are Zionist occupiers are using against our nonviolent protesters in Gaza? What kind of weapon is this? It's not tear gas. Looks very much like smoke. It makes big noise when shot, has a flame when shot, but a quick one. It makes huge cloud of smoke. I guess it is the second time they use it while suppressing great return marches. Gaza occupied Palestine, 13th of August, 2018. Now, just this image and that comment, you could say, okay, well, maybe they're misunderstanding what they're seeing, but trust me, there's more information surrounding this entire concept. Now, the next image, which is also hard to see, and this has been reported on by a few different people, is of a young boy. And this is a 14-year-old child who inhaled an unknown neurotoxin that has been essentially left him in a coma. His father, the father of the inflicted child, is quoted as saying, my son inhaled a killer gas emitted from gas bombs on the demonstrators, and this gas was filled with a severe chemical which affected all my son's nervous system, leading him to convulse horrifically every 5 minutes. Indeed, there is this video in the show notes if you want to find it in the article. I didn't feel like it was necessary to show you. It's a hard video to watch. He goes on to say, as you see, my son is on the bed of a hospital, and he has been convulsing violently with shock since 4 days ago. All the physicians and doctors tried their best to do analysis and diagnosis, but they can't treat him because the Israeli occupation cut the supply of medications for my son's case. and it's going terribly uncontrolled. Doctors told me that my son's treatment as well as medications are available only in Israel or outside of Gaza, which of course they won't allow them to leave. In this open-air prison, they don't tell you that on the mainstream media news. He continues to say, I am wondering why Israel kills our kids and prevents us to treat them. Therefore, I ask all the humanitarian foundations around the world, all world governments, NPA president, as well as Ishmael Haniyeh and everyone with soft heart to help my son get treatment out of Gaza urgently and to recover soon. Obviously, there's something lost in translation from this post, but the point is that he is pleading with everybody to do something about this. And this is not the first time this has happened, as we talked about before. This is not the first time Israel has verifiably used chemical weapons on protesters in Gaza. The Great March of Return demonstrations began on March 30th, in which hundreds of people have been killed. Women and children, medics, doctors, journalists. There is documented footage of the occupation's use of chemical weapons on protesters since April. Yet no world government or international body has taken any action or sent a delegation to Gaza even to investigate. Arms manufacturers, primarily the U.S. and Israel and the U.K., are in fact using the occupation's massacres in Gaza to horrifically test new chemical weapons. And I just interviewed Vanessa Beely, and here's a quick clip of something she said in an interview discussing the very same thing taking place in Gaza as well as in Yemen.
That effectively Israel perceived Gaza as almost, 2 million lab rats that it could use as a testing ground for the weapons that are being supplied by the US, right? And particularly on the last day, after the failed ceasefire the day before, on the last day, they literally unleashed hell onto Gaza. I mean, at that point, we all thought this is it. Literally everything was thrown at Gaza that night. And there were I remember there was a CBC reporter there saying to me, I've never seen a jet like that. And so they were literally like playing. They were using all this new weaponry, these new missiles, these new bombs, including weapons of mass destruction, of course, which have regularly been used against Gaza. And I think the same thing is very much happening in Yemen. I mean, there have been reports of, I think it was in 2016, of what very much looked like some sort of nuclear explosion. And actually, I carried out a fairly in-depth investigation into that, and it certainly looked very much as if nuclear armaments had been used from the physical manifestations on the people that had been affected by it. So I think we're seeing this again. You know, this is like it's like an extension of an exhibition for the arms industry here. So they're almost showing what they've got at the expense of the lives of the Yemeni people.
And as we reported on in the past, the first time this happened was during the same time frame when the United States was pointing the finger at Syria over staged attacks that have now been verified to be a false flag staged attack in Syria, while Israel was verifiably using chemical weapons. This is not the first time we've talked about this. We've talked about white phosphorus being used in Iraq. We've talked about cluster bombs being used in Yemen. These are things that the U.S. is very well aware of, yet pointing the finger at Syria over staged attacks. This should upset all of us. We should realize what's really going on here. Now, more footage of the occupation's illegal testing of chemical weapons was released in May. Gaza doctors have reported the symptoms are caused by a neurotoxin, verifiably, an unknown chemical nerve agent in the form of gas, which targets the entire nervous system of the victims, resulting in violent convulsions like we saw in the child, extreme suffocation, coma, and in some cases, death. Again, exactly like we demonstrate in the child, which the video will be in the show notes in the article you can check out for yourself. The treatment for this child and other victims, civilian victims, of chemical warfare is a simple medicine which Israel is now preventing from entering Gaza. Ask yourself why that is. Obviously, there is nefarious, malicious actions taking place here, and ask yourself why the United States will not call this out with, much even more evidence supporting this than what the White Helmets would claim about these staged attacks in the past in Syria. But you won't hear a peep about this on the mainstream media. I won't be surprised if this video itself gets censored simply for pointing out the facts of this case. It's events like this that we need to call attention to, because Israel is not being held accountable for some of the worst human rights violations in the world. These are war crimes. Using the Gaza protesters, innocent civilians, as a testing ground for their weapons to show the defense contractors of the world, look at what we can do. This can't be okay with us. This can't be okay with any genuine, compassionate human being in the world. Speak out about this. Let your voice be heard. Moving on to the next story, coming from mintpressnews.com, entitled, UN Report Finds ISIS Given Breathing Space in U.S.-occupied areas of Syria. Something we've been talking about for quite a long time. As always, Whitney Webb is doing an excellent job of covering the reality of the situation that you won't hear anywhere else, including, especially, in particular, mainstream media. So a recent report from the United Nations Security Council sanctions monitoring team has found that many of the places in Syria where the terror group ISIS continues to operate, recuperate, and extract oil for profit are in areas of the country occupied by the United States. Sounds familiar, something we've been saying for a long time. According to the report, Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, ISIL, having been defeated militarily in Iraq and most of the Syrian Arab Republic during 2017, rallied in early 2018 owing to a loss of momentum by forces fighting it in the east of the Syrian Arab Republic, which prolonged access by ISIL to resources and gave it breathing space to prepare for the next phase of its evolution into the global covert network. While the text itself doesn't explicitly state who controls these areas of the Syrian territory, maps of the eastern Syria make it very clear that the pockets of ISIS within U.S.-controlled territory have remained unchanged in size since November 2017, while the ISIS pockets in the Syrian government-controlled portion of eastern Syria have shrunk considerably since last November. This is something we've talked about many times. Syriana Analysis has covered this for a very long time and something we pointed out on numerous occasions. This is the map of eastern Syria. This map is of the territory held by ISIS, which is the gray areas you can see there. At the Syrian-Iraqi border, in the U.S.-controlled zone of the north of the Euphrates, which is the yellow area, red being Syria-controlled territory. We can very clearly see the gray pocket over here that has now been surrounded by Syrian government forces is continuing to shrink. However, the part back here behind it that's in yellow, interestingly enough, that the U.S. claims to be the sole purpose for being in Syria is to fight that pocket that seems to only exist within its own area, has been there unchanged for a very long time. More particularly, right in the middle along the border of the yellow and red is that little sliver of ISIS territory. Excuse me. And it's something that we have pointed out on numerous occasions. How these people, these U.S.-backed ISIS forces, essentially, as we've shown many times before, dance back and forth between the border, and anytime the Syrian forces get close, they get fired upon. Not hard to understand what's going on here. Now we have a UN report to back up what we've been saying all along. The article finishes by pointing out what we have been saying for years, and what should be damn near common knowledge by now. Quote, the evidence that the U.S. presence in Syria is actually helping to strengthen ISIS flies in the face of the Pentagon's justification for the U.S.'s occupation of northeastern Syria as being necessary because the Syrian government is not strong enough to defeat ISIS on its own. However, as the recent UN report reveals, the Pentagon's portrayal does not appear to be the reality of the situation. As Mint Press News has noted in the past, this finding is hardly surprising given that the Defense Intelligence Agency report from 2012 revealed that the U.S. was willingly allowing ISIS to be formed in order to destabilize the Syrian government and partition Syria through foreign military intervention. As we've always pointed out, it's all right there if you just know where to look. This is the U.S.'s own documentation outlining exactly what we're talking about. Allowing ISIS to exist, to use them as an excuse to go in and destabilize the country and carry out foreign intervention. This is the same old thing we've seen time and time again, and as the U.S. blatantly lies to the American people about why they're really there. We have to recognize this. By maintaining an ISIS pocket in the territory it occupies, as we've shown you in the image, the U.S. can continue to justify its illegal presence in the country for the long term. Indeed, just last month, the Trump administration made it very clear that the U.S. military plans to stay in Syria for the long haul. And of course, making sure the focus being on Iran and ISIS as well as the new kind of regional boogeymen, neither of which are justifiable claims. very frustrating to see. Again, take note of this. This has been this way for quite some time as this site on the Syrian area continues to shrink and as all the areas that it envelops continue to disappear, clearly taking away the ISIS forces while they remain untouched, hidden behind U.S. forces and their lines. Hard to not see that. Not hard to disagree with the reality of that situation. But you won't hear this on mainstream media. So take that in stride and understand what's really going on here. Even from the UN report, which I'm not claiming we should trust what the UN has to say either. But the point is we've been talking about this for years. And the truth is finally beginning to come out. Moving on to the next story coming from shiftplan.com entitled, Weed Killing Carcinogen Glyphosate Found in Children's Foods. Again, something that we have been covering for years now. Even coming off the last lawsuit that indeed does cause cancer is now being found in children's food, which is kind of what we've been saying for a long time, but specifically to point out that it's in children's food, I found incredibly relevant. The study, which was conducted by the nonprofit Environmental Working Group, EWG, found that many of the breakfast foods marketed to children specifically contain glyphosate. And there's been plenty of studies to show that it affects many different things about the developing body and the brain, whether we're talking about the agenda to maybe dumb people down or to manipulate their hormones or even their genes. This is something that we've been discussing for a very long time. Now to find that it's in children's food is increasingly damning. The known carcinogen and infamous weed-killing chemical glyphosate has just been found in breakfast foods marketed to children specifically. A new study has discovered trace amounts of the most widely used herbicide in the country in oats, granola, and snack bars. We recently talked about the article from Carrie Wedler coming right off the last lawsuit saying, well, here are seven foods that's in right now, trying to show us, look, this is happening. And there's lawsuits coming out showing you that all the things we've been screaming about for years are in fact true. Concern over glyphosate has continued to grow in the United States in recent years, although the chemical may be safe in some amounts, as they claim, to spray on weeds. If certain safety precautions are taken, it's probably a lot more dangerous if ingested by a child. Most disturbing, however, is the fact that 31 out of 45 tested products had levels of glyphosate that were higher than what many scientists consider safe for children, or anybody for that matter. And they fail to recognize that these things are everywhere in foods, in your clothing, in your water, in your urine, and understand that they continue to compound in your body. Not a new story, something I continue to drill home, that coming right off of a lawsuit where a man just won $289 million for the Supreme Court saying, yes, this caused you cancer. And we're finding it in our children's foods, in your clothing you're wearing, in the air you're breathing. Think about that and try to understand the gravity of the situation. One more thing to continue to speak out about and demand action from the people who are supposed to represent your true desires in this country, but are really being paid by the very companies that are perpetuating this problem. Moving on to the final story of the day, coming from mintpressnews.com, and an increasingly damning one in regard to foreign policy and the way that our country is moving forward, entitled, Following Push by Bolton, of course, Trump greenlights more cyber attacks. Very ominous step forward to where this country seems to be going toward in regard to its aggressive nature, aggressive actions toward other countries. Unjustifiably so, I would say. So President Donald Trump took steps on Wednesday to loosen limits on when the U.S. government can deploy cyber weapons against adversaries, reversing Obama-era guidelines. Of course, understanding that all of these actions that are being called for by people like Bolton are being justified by claims that we've already disproven. Concepts like the 2016 election meddling by the Russians, or any number of things they continue to point out that are in fact untrue. Trump signed an order reversing Presidential Policy Directive 20 that had mapped out an elaborate interagency process before the United States engaged in cyber attacks. Now, whether that was even really the case, as we pointed out many times in the past, they have ways around any of these things. President Trump seems to be making these unilateral actions as a matter of practice today. Even so, this is just one more step to write into law the ability to do these things without you or I even being involved, or any other agency for that matter, that may have an inkling of some actual moral authority to say, no, we should not carry out these attacks unjustifiably. The White House did not immediately respond to Reuters' request for comment, of course. It was not clear what rules the Trump administration was adopting to replace the Obama-era policy, if any. While a number of current U.S. officials confirmed the directive had been reversed, they declined to comment further, citing the classified nature of the process. Always that pesky national security getting in the way of Americans actually knowing what's going on. One administration official briefed on the decision described it as an offensive step forward, which sounds pretty accurate, intended to help support military operations, deter foreign election influence, and thwart intellectual property theft by meeting such threats with a more forceful response. Of course, response to something that they have yet to even prove, of course. Interesting how that works. But because our intelligence officials say so, we need to take action. Just like we've seen the United States government respond by bombing a sovereign nation based on things that have shown to be actually false to this point. Interesting how that works, and dangerous how this is going forward, knowing that they've taken actions based on fabrications in the very recent past. National Security Advisor John Bolton began the effort to remove this directive specifically after he took up his position in April. Interesting how Bolton has that effect, continuing to increase the aggressive responses towards other countries in the world, inching us closer towards actual war that we should be fighting to stop. All of this stuff today is so important to understand, and I'm going to go back to the beginning point yet again and make this point that, look, these things can be hard to digest, and I do hear your calls for positive stuff. I understand that. Again, even psychologically, why it's important for us to not continue to focus on the negative. Let that be my burden to bear. I will continue to bring you the stuff that I think is most important. And a lot of it, most of it, tends to be pretty hard to swallow. But the truth is that this is the reality that we're in today. This is the reality of the situation in which we find ourselves, that these people are doing these things and hope that you're not paying attention. I will try to find more positive news. I promise you that, but I will not do it at the expense of the reality of the situation. So please, if you have some news that you think is important for me to cover, please reach out to me. Ryan@thelastamericanvagabond.com. Join our Discord chat, to which I will put a link after this show in the show notes or in the chat itself. And please reach out with information. I want to hear more from you guys in general for any kind of news, but particularly positive news if you feel it's that important. I appreciate you tuning in today. Make sure you stay tuned on this very channel if you want to join us on the T-Lab Research and Review for the next couple hours, where we continue to discuss this and much more. As always, check out the show notes below and all the independent resources. If you'd like to continue to fund this channel, if you like what we're trying to accomplish here, check us out on Patreon. Even a dollar a day goes an extremely long way. Or just share this video. Take part in what we're trying to accomplish. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.